As is listed in the sermon this morning is entitled Everywhere and in Every Church. The text for this sermon is 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. This will be the title and the text of tonight's sermon. The reason for this is the fact that when this sermon was written nearly 40 years ago, people enjoyed hearing a sermon that was an hour long. Many times I am told that folks would ask the preacher to preach on, to continue on. As Brandon said this morning, if you desire so, I can have a part three for you in this particular sermon. Everywhere and in every church. Let us read our text. For this cause have I sent you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere and in every church. No doubt we know that the Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration, is doing those things and teaching those things which he was guided to teach. But he was setting an example before us, one that would be with us for a number of years, or with them for a number of years. Remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere and in every church. We need only look around just a little bit today to see that inconsistency has made vast inroads to Christianity. Conflicts in life and doctrine have caused many to be lost already. This is why in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, the Holy Spirit caused Paul to write under inspiration to the young preacher Timothy and give him these words that he might live by, that he might guide himself by, and that he might use caution as he continued to live in this life. He said unto him, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, it is important for us to understand that as we preach everywhere in every church, that what we are to preach and teach is doctrine. This is the same doctrine that Paul was telling Timothy to take heed unto and to continue in them. And this is what we need to do today. Unfortunately, some so-called strong preachers preach weak sermons and compromise the truth when it's profitable for them. I'll guarantee you that there are many who are in the pulpit today, were they told not to preach on a particular subject, would stay away from it for fear of losing their jobs. Since there is but one message from God, it is to be preached without change, everywhere and in every church. And according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, is to be preached as such regardless of the price one pays for preaching it as it is written. Again, Paul, writing under inspiration to Timothy, the young preacher, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And many today will say, you know, we preach the word. You know, God is love. And so we preach about love. We need to understand that while God is love, he has also told us what that love will bring about. It will bring salvation to those who heed and hear his word and do it, but it will bring condemnation to those who fail to do so. Notice what he told Timothy to do. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. When you're going to lose your job, preach the truth. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. In other words, you can't just get by telling somebody one time and say, okay, I've told you, you've been warned, off with you. You must be long-suffering, but you must do so according to doctrine. You must teach doctrine. Why? Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. all too often churches want to hire somebody to entertain the troops. Now, what do I mean by that? We know that Bob Hope and all of those folks, they went over to entertain the troops. When we have troops stationed places, they would go over near the holidays and they would go over and put on a performance. It saddens me to say that today many preachers are in the pulpit putting on a performance. What are they doing? They're tickling people's ears. Because people have heaped to themselves teachers and they are turning away their ears from the truth. Tell us what makes us feel good. Tell us what makes us comfortable. Don't make me squirm. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Preach the same thing everywhere in every church. Neither the one message is applicable to all accountable people today. We needn't sit back and say that it's not for us. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, we see that the gospel is God's power to save all that believe. We needn't step back and say, well, it doesn't apply to me. What did Paul say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see that this is in keeping with the message that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples. He told them to go first to the household of Israel and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so we see this power of God unto salvation, the gospel, which should be proclaimed, is applicable to all. But we must be aware, as we are told in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, that this doctrine, this gospel, can be perverted. And anyone who partakes in this perverted gospel is to be accursed. We think a lot of times, well, you know what? It's close enough. There used to be a saying when I was in the working world, working with my hands, close enough for government work. People used to say, well, you can't see it from my house. Well, that's not the way it is with the doctrine, with the gospel of Christ. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, remember, this is an apostle penning these words, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. How would we like to stand before God aware of the fact that we had preached a perverted gospel? We should know then that we would be accursed. This same gospel, the one message, unchanged according to the authority of the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, must be preached until the end. The word will not change. In our Bible class recently, somebody said, the facts can be changed, but truth will not change. It has been written down, it has been established, and it will not change. Jesus Christ came unto them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, as we talked this morning in our Bible class, that means that we have a threefold responsibility to those that are lost. We are to teach them, we are to baptize them, and we are to continue to teach them. Friends, quite frankly, that is why that these pews are not full this morning. Because not everyone has preached the same everywhere in every church. There are those who have decided that it's not necessarily to preach it like it is. We can see why the one message is to be preached everywhere in every church and why it is applicable to all today as we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17. We can see that it prepares us unto all good works, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And when we see the word perfect there, we needn't think that we will be without fault or without sin. It means that we will be whole. It means that we will have been given all the things that we need. We live in a day in which many are searching many different faiths or beliefs. One needs only read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 5, beginning, to see that God has provided one faith or one system of belief to which is to be preached, which is to be defended in the Christian era from the day of Pentecost in 1833 until the Lord comes back. He said there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's that same word according to John chapter 12 and verse 48, which records this proclamation of Christ himself, and that the word that he sent to us will judge us in the last day. We needn't be wondering about how the judgment will be, because we are told that we will be judged by this same word that he gave to us through the Spirit, and that we are to proclaim everywhere in every church. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. Well, here's the rub. This one message is unacceptable to denominationalism. What do I mean by that? It's unacceptable to denominationalism. The word of Christ, as seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, contains facts, commands, promises, and warnings. And all we need to do is read and study this gospel, this news that God has given to us. But we must also continue to stand in that. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. He was writing this to Christians. They were standing in the gospel because they were baptized into Christ according to the gospel. Look at verse 2. By which also ye are saved. Remember Romans 1:16? It, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I had received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is not what the denominations teach. Oh, yeah, they teach that Jesus died on the cross. They teach that he was buried. They teach that he rose from the dead. And they teach that because he did that, we needn't do anything. Friends, that's not what the gospel teaches. Each denomination has their own message, their own rules, their own commands, their own edicts, and their own creeds. There are many different messages as there are denominations. Oh, wait a minute, you say. They claim to preach and teach from the Bible. I'll guarantee you, if you ask one, do you find what you teach in the Bible? They'll tell you, yes, I do. But challenge them. Show me that in the Bible. Well, they must be teaching and preaching the perverted message that we talked about earlier. Remember, that comes with a curse. Which doctrine would you have? The gospel message would not fit any of the denominations without requiring alteration. My grandmother was a seamstress. She worked at a department store, and that was her job. People would come in and they would buy a suit if they could afford it. And she would take up the hem. Or the ladies would buy a dress, and she would adjust it so that it would fit properly. Alteration. That's what the denominations try to do to the gospel. They alter it to fit them. Friends, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to alter ourselves so that we fit the gospel. The reason that they will not fit the gospel is because that man has allowed private interpretation. I hate that. I hate when people say to me, well, that's just the way you interpret it. That's not the way we interpret it. That's what the word says. That's what the word means. That's what the word teaches. And we can go to multiple places to show these things that the word teaches. Inspiration has been thrown out the window. Well, you can see it your way, and I'll see it mine. Friends, that won't end us up at the same place. In John chapter 17 and verse 21, Jesus prayed that his followers be one. That means that they be united. They be in fellowship with one another. He said that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Think how hard it is for people to believe and understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came and lived and died a sinless life on this earth. Why, they didn't believe it when he was here. What makes you think they're going to believe it 2,000 years later? If we believe in him, if we are one as he and the Father are one, this would result in unity. There will never be unity among men while men allow private interpretation as their foundation or insist in having it their own way. Even the word denomination means division. And why would you want to be part of something that is defined as division? In Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, the word that Jesus gave to man is referred to as the everlasting gospel. I caution you here to remember that the message in Revelation is written in signs and symbols. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell upon the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Signs and symbols, you say? You, by your own admission, say that Revelation was written in signs and symbols, therefore you didn't prove your point. Well, then turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We see, as Peter is writing by inspiration to the church, he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. How many times have we read that passage? How many times have we read over it, scanned over it, glanced at it, and not taken in what is being said here? Notice what is being said. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But don't stop there. How do we have all things that pertain to life and godliness? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And of course we are called through the gospel. But notice what this results in. Provided we follow the one message. If we do these things, we shall never fall. Then what? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. We see that if we do these things, we shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How was this accomplished? It's because these people heard the same thing that Paul was preaching everywhere in every church. While talking to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, Christ himself explained the fallacy of teaching the commandments of men and how it results in vain worship. He said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." They might very well be able to claim, yes, we're worshiping God, or we're directing our worship toward Christ. But what are you teaching? What are you preaching? If you're preaching and teaching the doctrines of men, it becomes vain worship and is worthless. It's useless. Everywhere, regardless of the city, regardless of the congregation, the apostles, the disciples of Jesus Christ preached and taught the one message. And that is what should be preached and proclaimed from the pulpit today. Paul preached the one foundation in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 1, and you can say, well, you know what? Paul and Peter and James and John, they had the Spirit. I've had people say that to us. You know, it'd be a lot easier if we had the Spirit. Guess what? We've got it. But we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, so that we might know what to be preached everywhere and in every church. Paul said, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He was telling them where to start. We talked about this morning how that when Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch, he opened the scriptures to the same place, which was Isaiah, and preached unto him Jesus, the foundation, the basis of Christianity. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, we're informed that the cornerstone of that one foundation is Christ. Now, those who have built things before or built, got into construction, understand that the cornerstone is that which everything is based upon. And if the cornerstone is not right, then the foundation is not going to be solid. And if the foundation is not solid, the building won't stand. And if the building won't stand, it's going to eventually fall. That's not the church that Jesus built. Christ is preached on that one foundation, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And we know that the strength of the foundation determines the solidity of the building. When Christ made that proclamation in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he said, "I will build my church." He was providing the message that was to be preached everywhere and in every church. That's why in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul proclaimed that Christ is the head of the body to the Colossian brethren. And we are to follow that head. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In our society today, we're often guilty of putting I first. You listen to a conversation with people, you'll hear me and I multiple times. I did this, I did that. Me, it's all about me. It shouldn't be all about me. It shouldn't be all about you. It should be about Christ. He is to be the center of our lives. He's the head of the body, that he might have the preeminence. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul also taught that the kingdom has already come. And we discussed this last Sunday. It is important that we understand this, because it is the kingdom that we enter into as we become children of God. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Paul was taught, he was obedient. And then he taught by inspiration that immersion in water is necessary as one is obedient to the gospel. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, we have the account of when the apostle Paul was taught this by Ananias. Ananias was sent to him by the Lord to instruct Paul. He said unto him, "And now why tarriest thou?" In other words, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Paul also in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told the Roman the same thing. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" This is the message that is to be taught everywhere and in every church. It's the message that is applicable to all, that is contained in his word, and that will judge us on the last day. But there's more to the message. There's more that needs to be proclaimed everywhere and in every church. However, if you're not here tonight, you're going to miss it. That's not to say that down the road somewhere, it won't be preached again. But you need to be here. I want to leave you this morning that which should be part of every gospel sermon. It is that to which all of mankind needs to hear. It is called the plan of salvation. To preach a sermon and to leave the pulpit without presenting the gospel plan of salvation is to be woefully unprepared. It's like me coming up here in swimming trunks to preach a gospel. I would be so unprepared. Don't worry, it'll never happen. But you need to hear the gospel plan of salvation. It's God's directive to man whereby we can be saved, whereby we can do the things that God has directed, that we might have eternal life. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, we are instructed to hear the word of God. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Acts 8:37, we've already referred to that we must believe. Philip said to the eunuch, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, speaking of the apostle Paul, tells us that we must repent. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Romans 10, verse 9 tells us that we must confess, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we must be baptized. Acts chapter 10 and verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. But we need to understand, everywhere in every church, it needs to be proclaimed, as is proclaimed in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, that we must be faithful until death. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that he may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We need to also understand that God has a law to those erring Christians. Those who have found themselves mired in sin, those who have found themselves departing from God because of the world and the things that are in the world, and when they attach themselves to those things, they have separated themselves from God because of their sin. We are told in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, a person in that condition is to repent and pray. I want you to think about those things as we open our songbooks and as we turn to the selected song, 692, and as we ask ourselves the question, have I done what God would have me do? And then I want you to commit to coming back tonight to hear the rest of the story. Let us stand, and if you need to respond, do so as together we sing.